we made a promise we didn't keep, that we would be back every week. But listen, we genuinely tried to release an episode last week for the second time. And that is the story of that little bitch. I'm actually afraid to say her name on this episode in case.
I think we're cursed.
We are cursed.
Because like, right, I'm just going to do it because look, if anybody's cursed, it's probably going to be me anyway. Mary Bell, a little bit. And she probably is dead by now.
No, you should have let me. You're the storyteller this week.
Ah, she's looking to be grand. But like, no, I feel
Mary,
like
come for me.
She definitely is dead. I know she's haunting us from the grave.
Yeah.
Like, not to be
twice,
dramatic.
Quiva has told us the story of this little
I'm never
bitch,
doing
Mary
it again.
Bell.
I swear to God, if her story is never told in the podcast, I'm happy for it.
I now call it the curse of the podcast. Any podcast should never cover the story of that little bitch, because twice the audio has been utterly fucking unsavable.
Like, useless.
Completely. May as well have not bothered to record that week. We could have just chilled on our
Literally,
answers.
Literally, may as well. Me and Lizzie here stressing. For
so,
what?
Yeah.
And tell the story of that fucking stupid little bitch again.
We are genuinely cursed. We are cursed. And as for this week, if me and Lizzie sound a bit snotty. I just got my second vaccine. Whoop, whoop. Fully vaxxed. Go me. Pat, pat. Didn't I? Fully thought I would. Yes. Delighted I didn't. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, we have to wait for the microchips to kick in, you see.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's when it really starts to fucking fuck you up.
Yeah. And a small child used Lizzie as a piece of tissue. So, inevitable cold.
I'm actually temp and fuming raging because I was fine. And then like literally 10 minutes before we were coming to do this, I literally sneezed 15 times. 15 times in the space of like 5 minutes. I was fuming. Absolutely fuming.
So,
am I going to push these kids by the face? No, but will I want to? Yes.
Imagination is a powerful friend. But yeah, so if you didn't believe that we were cursed before from previous episodes where we have been very clearly cursed, we're cursed again. It's just, it's never ending.
You actually can't catch a break.
We're going to try our fucking best. No, no, we can't catch a break. We're not allowed to. It's illegal. So we're trying our best this week to get a story out, and we're going to do something very fucking ballsy and start off another 3-part series. And you know what? By the time we're done with it, even though it won't be Christmas yet, I think we should chalk it down to a Christmas miracle. If we manage to get it out for 3 weeks in a row, successfully.
I fully agree.
Would you like to introduce what we're doing, Lizzie?
Sure, look, we've come this far, might as well. So for our first, well, I suppose it's not even just our first episode, like Svan said, we're going to do like three. But our new heavy hitter series is going to be Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. Literally two of the biggest creeps, and I mean creeps, I have ever read up about. They're so vile.
But
and they're fucking losers as well.
Before we start, and this joke is no longer kind of cute because people will know about him. Whenever you read Charles Ng's name, do you ever think it should just be followed by MUA? Like, I feel like he would have been big on YouTube if he wasn't a serial killer and was far more into makeup. You know what I mean? Charles Ng.
But
anyway,
right, he would have been a mooah. His middle name is like Cheetah. And I just think it's really funny. Like, then the NG, like, I just think of like cheating. And it's just, I don't know why. It's just, it makes me
even
laugh.
Fucking better. Cheetah Ng, MUA, mooah of the century.
Oh, I should say, it was actually, we were suggested this.
Right, we'll see.
Shout out to Neo for the suggestion. I'm kind of regretting already taking
Thanks,
you into
friend.
Consideration because I know this is going to be a piece of shit. But
we listen to our fan
our
that has stuck
fan.
With us through all of our single.
Everybody
fan.
Else,
the
is
only
like,
one left.
You're so unprofessional. The only true one is Neo.
You literally disappeared for 6 weeks. I forgot who you are. What's a cesspool?
And do you know what? They were dead right as well.
Oh, can't blame them.
They were
can't
dead
blame
right.
them at all.
No.
We try as we might. We're not the professionals we wish we were. We're really not.
No. Never will be. And if anything, I think we've gotten worse.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, look, we just derailed the whole entire fucking description of what we're doing this week. On
do
a kind
what?
Of related tangent, but a tangent nonetheless.
But then I'm going to give us a pass. Because if it's somewhat way relatable, then we can get away with it.
I mean, that is true. Shall we continue?
I think we shall.
Well, alrighty then. Let's dive in.
I always feel the need to do like a little split.
I always put my fucking hand on my hip and I don't know why. I feel like I need to say the let's dive in like a little fucking teapot. Just things we do.
Okay, so Leonard Lake and Charles Ng were a psychopathic duo that terrorized the Northern California area in the early 1980s, and they are estimated to kill between 11 to 25. So they don't have a definite number on the victims. Like, it's confirmed 11, suspected 25.
So
right?
There's a questionable unlucky 13, which is...
Yes. Ew. Yes. And that's because, so basically, after all their crimes, like, for their victims, they would, like, take Polaroid pictures, they would take footage. Like, they literally filmed the whole thing. And you can watch some of the things, and you can see some of the Polaroids. So... when they eventually did get caught, spoiler alert, a load of Polaroids were found that were of people that were posed the same as other victims, but just no bodies were found, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh.
Can I just say how thrilling it is to be doing yet another case like this where there's visible evidence that don't go look at, but, you know, do if you want to, I guess.
Yeah.
But you could if you wanted to. And
could if you wanted to.
They're Polaroids, again. And that just, I'm just like, we're right back in the moors. Love it. Feel great.
And they really are hilarious. Now, their extracurricular activities included such crimes as abduction, rape, torture, murder, and family annihilation. So, you know, all of the fun things that one likes to do up their spare time.
That's new.
Yeah.
We haven't done many of those.
No.
Yeah.
It's kind of thrilling.
We're adding some, like, paprika this week.
Bit of spice. And do you want to know, like, these had a reason. Well, it started off as a reason for why they committed all their crimes. Mm-hmm. And that was because they wanted to have a stable of sex slaves in preparation for a nuclear war or nuclear holocaust. And they would require women to repopulate the earth.
A stable.
Yeah, it's a stable. Oh, yeah. So are they going to be like penned like horses? Like, yes. They're just going to feed their women hay every day, like, and
like
brush their hair.
Chained up to a basement wall.
Lovely.
Fed once a day type thing.
Great. Loving the aspirations here. True businessmen. Makes sense. Prepare for the apocalypse by having
they were
sex slaves.
Aiming so high. Oh yeah. No, that's exactly, like, literally that's exactly what they wanted.
First thing on my list for the apocalypse.
A stable of women.
They literally had like a stable of women. Like, it's just such an odd thing to call it.
A stable.
A stable. And they had this operation that they would bring to life called Operation Miranda. And that would basically include having shelter, essentials, and women in the event of a nuclear apocalypse.
I mean, why did you feel the need to list them off? I thought they were under essentials.
See, you know.
Tell me now, Miranda was one of their mothers.
Oh, no, no. It's so much worse. As in,
oh, good.
It's so much more embarrassing. Like, I'm mortified for them, for their reasoning, right?
My soul is prepared.
We can even start to discuss, like, the monstrous crimes that they have committed. We need to take a look at these losers' early lives. And just to see how they became literally one of America's most prolific serial killer duos. And when I mean losers, I full on mean. Do you know that group in school?
The Krusty Commune.
Yes. Yes. Slid right in.
David, what was your Krusty Commune called?
The Mankey Mob.
Mankey Mob. We all had one, whatever you called us.
Do you know what? It's just like, not dogging on anybody, but do you know, just that them, like, certain, like, groups where
they just really didn't come into their own in secondary/high school.
But not even that, they weren't even, like, nice people anyway. But no. They were arseholes as well. So it's like, well, you are smelly, so I'm going to call you smelly now, and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
If you had a nice personality, I might have bought you some Lynx.
Yeah, Lynx Africa. Here you go. Oh. Merry Christmas. No.
No, not for you, you crusty cunt. Oh, my God. Okay, so he was part of the Crusty Commune.
Okay. Loser number one.
Back on track.
Leonard Lake. So he was born on October 29th, 1945 in San Francisco, California, and he was a middle child, so, you know, he had the syndrome. He was a fucking terror, right? But
Sorry, I'm just straight up thinking of Adam now because Adam had the biggest middle child syndrome ever. So.
And am I in any way surprised? No.
No. It explains a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to the former editor of this podcast. He'll never listen, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, we can dog him out for all we want. And not long after the arrival of Leonard's youngest sibling, their piss-heaven of a father, because that's exactly what he was, just decided, well, lads, I'm a bit too fond of the drink. Too many screaming our kids in the house. Sayonara, see you later. Get the fire exit door, I'm off. And he just left.
Oh, he went to get milk.
Yeah, and the disappearing act where he just like forgot to come back.
Off to the second family with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, off he went, never to be seen again. Well, by Leonard, that was. Because after a few months of the father's Houdini act, Leonard's mother, God bless her, was kind of pining after him, because I feel like they were like childhood sweethearts. She's like, oh my God, can't let him go. He's a piece of shit, probably shouldn't have let him go. So she took her eldest child, her youngest children, to go chase after him. He ended up in Seattle, so she brought the kids with her, left poor Leonard at home, just to be pawned off to the grandparents. So I don't know what happened in that house where it was like he was one that was left out.
It's just, okay, right, so he's the Kevin McAllister of the group.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm fucking not even for
this. Getting the strong impression of everybody hates Leonard.
I feel like the mother could probably sense the freak off him already. She's like,
yeah.
She's like, I just don't want to deal with him anymore.
Yeah. Just like, the youngest still has potential. The oldest one turned out all right. Let's just leave Leonard with my mother and see if she fucks her up the way she fucked me up.
Well,
sounds
I
right.
Say the oldest turned out all right, but that's true, no fault of his own. God bless him. And I'll get into that now in a hot minute. But
oh, Christ above. At the time, he was probably a grandchild. Like,
I mean, no.
Oh, for fuck's sake, but can anyone have joy in this life?
I mean, look, it wasn't his fault, God love him, but like, okay, he would see his mother the odd time when she did decide like to come visit and stuff, but father never seen again, and he kind of only saw siblings every now and again. But not that he had a bad upbringing, right? But it wasn't normal. And by normal, I mean his grandmother in particular wanted him to have an appreciation of the beauty of the human body. So she encouraged him to take pictures of his naked little sister so he could have an appreciation from an artistic point of view.
Sorry, the butterfly effect? What? You? No.
Yep.
Here, go appreciate your sister's naked body.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting 101, it's in all the baby books.
How was that going to make you appreciate? I'm just going to throw it out here.
And he a small child.
Why is he looking to appreciate? Why does she want him to appreciate? Why are you sexualizing her kids? That's like, oh my God, like, why isn't my fucking dog finding other dogs attractive? Like, why do you give a shit? Why do you want them to?
Leave your asexual child or dog alone. And leave but your children like, away from that weird shit while they're still children.
Who cares?
How about that?
Like, why does he need to have an appreciation?
Being from a fucking art gallery and being like, look at how they paint, or you know what I mean? I could understand that. Like, but
literally show him just like the marble statues from Rome.
Yeah. I fully thought you were going to tell me that like Granny was going to flick the bean in front of him. So I'm kind of glad it didn't go there. But like, this is
what
worse.
What was she trying to get him to appreciate?
The human
just the
form.
Human form.
But again, children, literal Minecraft characters. There's no form yet because they're not formed. That's why they're children. That's why you leave them the fuck alone until they form.
Mm-hmm.
How old was he?
He would have been like, just say, anywhere between 10 and 13.
Why do you want to appreciate
the little sister was?
Sort of human form?
There was no age given for the sister for what age when it started, but sure she would have been anywhere from like 5 to 9.
So a child, like.
Isn't it just green?
Literally, go and like bring him to an art gallery and let him look at the naked ladies.
No, she was definitely into little kids being fucking weird. This was it. It's the butterfly effect. And that's all I can see now is that scene from that fucking movie. And I'm not okay. We're 17 minutes in and I'm already distraught.
Do you need
distraught,
a minute
like
to, like, collect yourself?
Okay. Proceed. It's not going to get any better.
No. How did you know? But like we were saying, like just bizarrely, you know, didn't lead to an appreciation of the human form, but to a sexual obsession with his little sister.
Who'd have fucking thought that that would go there?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that?
Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Not me.
Nope. Can't say I saw that coming.
And do you remember there how a minute ago you were like, oh, the eldest one turned out all right.
Here we go.
And I was like, hey, hey, hey. No. That's right. Their eldest brother, Donald, right?
Oh, with a name like Donald.
He did. Oh, no, but it's not his fault, but he did end up being a little bit of a twat, but that's only because he got a belt in the head of a train. By a train when he was 9.
What the
Okay, the head injury is on the wrong one, though.
It's like a fucking episode of Bob's Burgers. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on? Actually, like,
oh my god, okay, so the eldest was actually Jean then.
Oh god,
oh god bless him. But because of the little, like, you know,
crack to the fuck,
not
how
to the
do
brain.
You get a slap of a train to the head and survive?
I don't know, right? I'm thinking, do you know the way in America they have like they don't have like not proper tracks, but do you know the way a train track can literally just run through someone's back?
Yeah, it's just like they're on the ground.
I'm feeling like. Owl,
or like, they always have,
Dopey
like,
Donald
off it and stuff.
Was stumbling outside one day, put the owl head out, got a clip of a train.
How
do you get a clip of a train? That's going.
Got a small dose of train to the brain. So,
you know what I mean?
But how do you get a clip off a train and survive?
Oh, honestly.
Exactly, people, so it could have only been a clip.
Did they, I know this is a stupid question, but did they specify that it was a real train and not like... a toy one.
No, do you think like a child went up to like a toy
and
train
just and just walloped like, him in the head with it? Or worse, brain he drama. Was playing with the train set and it was going around and he just lay on those tracks and it just kind of like thunk.
Or you know in like Lollymore, is it Lollymore one of them? And they have like this mini steam trains.
Oh, I know the ones you're talking about. Do you know the way, like you can see the ones that are in like shopping centres and stuff now, don't worry. Mm. No, it was an actual
train.
A fucking train, like.
Cart dragging train. Yeah,
sorry. I shouldn't laugh. This is terrible.
One of the big boys.
Okay, so what did this train to the brain cause Donald to do?
Well, obviously, God bless him, he had a bit of developmental issues and he would get really angry and just like beat the shit out of his siblings all the time. Like he would mangle them.
Of course.
Like actually mangle them. But he also made his younger siblings afraid of him, but not Leonard. Because Leonard knew how to take like full advantage of this situation. So even though poor Donald was made out to be the angry little monster in the fucking corner, it was actually the creep lurking in the corner that was the actual monster in this household.
Always the quiet one.
Not poor Donald.
It's always the fucking quiet one. Excuse me.
He would say to his little sister, right, this is going to make you sick. I'll protect you from Donald if you do this thing to me that I like called a blowjob.
No!
Yeah. He made his sister do that to him. And did Donald even stop beating the shit out of her? No, he fucking did.
No, of course not.
Oh my god.
It's very upsetting.
Honestly, the void is looking back at me and I'm like...
Are you ready? Because it's going to get worse.
Oh no, right. I'm not. I'm really not.
So, little loser Leonard, right, also had a fascination with killing mice.
Of course.
Right, he has a cousin called Chester, right? Now, Chester is a bit of a dope in a sense that the story that he is about to tell is just so whimsical and just so batshit. You're like, fucking Chester, like, this did not happen the way that you said it did. But anyway, so
Chester
basically, he said Leonard had a load of mice as pets, right? And when they bred too much and too many of them started popping out.
Which is like every once a fucking month with mice.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, horrendous luck. He had to get rid of them, he said, but Leonard literally had a whole little mice town set up for them where he had like little mice trains and he had a little stage for the mice to dance on. Like stupid shit, like some like Chester stuff.
Oh my god, he was living the life I wanted to lead, I swear to God. That sounds like such a fucking dream. That sounds class.
It does. I can see you having a full on production, but like the way he's describing this is like Leonard had a whole town dedicated for these little mice.
This is
in the more that kept on popping up. He just kept on building onto the town. But I'm like, well, if that was true, Chester, why the fuck did he dissolve them all in acid from his first, do you know, one of those beginner's chemistry sets? The little tubs of acid that come with those.
Lovely.
Leonard used to dissolve the mice in them.
Lovely. Just you love when your small, budding serial killer discover science to help him along his way. It's just, you gotta love that for us. Why do I believe the mouse town though? I kind of see it because he's like, I'm gonna make them live their best lives and then take it away from them.
Do you know what? What I'm put by him.
Do you know what I mean? Sounds like him.
And now I'm just picturing the little like toy trains and he's just like horsing little mice onto them.
Come on.
Playing conductor.
Oh, fucking mouse red.
Oh my god,
Redemption.
You reckon he pretended one of them was Donald and he put it on the track and then like made the train go over and hit the mice?
Stop, because he definitely did.
He definitely did. There's just one little brain damaged mouse just roaming around the fucking town after taking
the other mice.
Taking a slap of a train to the head.
Speaking of getting a slap of a train to the head, like we have just been talking about how poor Donald nearly had the head taken off by a train and how it did leave him with brain damage, it obviously meant then that he wasn't able to be fully dependent on himself, and he did need help from his mother.
Right.
The one that didn't really like Leonard, because if she did, she would have fucking took him with her to Seattle in the first place. Yep. But anyway, so he resented her for that, resented Donald for that. And this really set the pace for him that he hated people that would depend on others for anything.
Right.
Be it, like, you know, if you had something wrong with you, like debilitating issues, if you had to depend on other people, you were pathetic. And he thought you were a waste of a human. And then even when he grew up, for people that were, to say, on benefits, you were a leech.
Not me getting murdered by Leonard Lake. Cripple of the century.
Okay, I didn't want to say it, but...
Prime target. Oh my god. Watch me leeching off society.
He just sounds like the kind of lad that's just bitter that other people are getting shit that he wants.
Yeah, he just wants attention. It's middle child syndrome. He's like, that should be me. Why the fuck does Donald get all the attention? That should be me. I'm going to go get myself hit in the head with a train so I can get all the attention off Mammy too.
Exactly. And as bad as he was as a child, he was even more insufferable as a teenager.
Oh, imagine that.
So he did. He liked to say to people, oh, what's your faith? Oh, you're Christian. I believe in the Norse gods myself. Like, he was one of those fools. You know what I mean?
Oh my god.
Just to be edgy, but when that got boring, he decided that he was going to change to Buddhism.
Oh, for Christ.
And then finally set his sights on atheism. Savannah pulled that exact same shit in secondary school, let me tell you now, and I hope she's embarrassed.
The full potential to be a serial killer. I just went the other way. We can just be grateful for that. I was right there. I have the head injuries, the childhood trauma, and the want to change religions, the hatred of people. I just chose the other way.
I remember when we used to have to go to like mass with like our church in school, right? And they're like, obviously, if you were of a different faith, you didn't have to stand up and sit down for the readings and the prayers and everything. Savannah used to just to say, like, don't stay sat. And people were like, well, why aren't you standing? Like, why aren't you participating? And she's like, I'm actually a Buddhist.
Oh,
they can't tell me I'm not.
God, no, you didn't. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I gave up on that and just went full blown, like, I don't care. Can't say atheist, more agnostic, I guess, but I don't like the term agnostic because it makes you sound like a twat. I'm agnostic. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that term, but realistically, it's kind of what I am.
Realistically, I'm going to say a solid 95% of atheist people are agnostic, but just as you said, we don't like the term.
Yeah, because it makes you sound like a tit.
Yeah.
I'm like, agnostic could be one, like, God, could be many. Doesn't
don't
matter.
Don't really necessarily point. Believe that there is one, but also can't prove that there isn't. So
exactly.
Here we are.
Yeah. I'm like, you do you, boo. I just don't particularly believe in any of your bullshit. But yeah. By the time I got to our school, though, I'd pretty much kind of given up on the Buddhism already. It was only for the last year. Or the first year. The first year. But by the time I was having war with all of the religion teachers, it was just full-blown atheism.
It was just, honestly, I wish I could go back and bully her more for it, because
I was on
like
a journey.
I missed out on an opportunity. Anyway,
apparently so was this good move. So
yeah, exactly. And it's when he was a teenager that he also became obsessed with a novel titled The Collector.
Again,
this novel depicts...
Why are you obsessed with a novel? You fucking saddo.
I know. Get a
no,
grip.
You're about to find out why. At and least it's so it... annoying why. And I know exactly why it's his favourite novel, and I fucking hate him.
Yeah, but you're allowed. You shouldn't have obsessed with a novel. I don't care what's in it. Get a grape. Fucking favourite novel.
Like, I know we all like our things, but...
You're allowed to like things, but, like, why are you obsessed, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't pick, like, a favourite book.
No.
No, it's like, it, there's
I can't
so
really
much.
Pick
it's
a favourite anything, to be honest.
I get like that, and then I'm like, I'm ashamed to admit it to other people, and I'm like, oh, what's your favourite song? I don't have one.
No, it's like, it's whatever genre I'm in the mood for. I can't have a favourite.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah, and same with movies and everything. Wait, we're tangenting again.
Yeah, anyway. The Collector.
The Collector.
Right? So, what it's about is basically, there's a butterfly collector, and he falls in love with a young woman. But he also kidnaps this woman, keeps her in a trap of his own accord, or of his own making, and her name is Miranda, right?
Ah, of course.
And, So, you know, gave him major inspo for his later crimes and why he called his operation Operation Miranda.
Lovely.
In the first place. In 1965, aged just 19, he served in the Vietnam War as a radar operator. Well, he would go around and he would brag.
Of course.
About killing so many people. Oh, he killed hundreds, and how he was so happy to do it, that the people that he killed were nothing but vermin. But during his first tour, he was actually hospitalised for exhibiting incipient psychotic reactions.
Oh, lovely. Lizzie, are you sure you didn't fuck up your notes? We've done this story before.
And isn't like, it just like a tie?
Oh, textbook.
Like, be more fucking basic bitches. Like.
Yeah, going over doing honestly, literally nothing at war, but be like, yeah, you should see all the birds
killed
I killed.
Loads led. But to bang on about it that much that your superiors got concerned and had you hospitalised because they thought you were that mentally unhinged.
Not really good luck, is it? It's not good for the CV.
I'd love to know what exactly, like, the type of shit that he was saying was, because...
I bet it was lunacy.
To have, it had to have been, because for you to be hospitalised for having opinions, and you're a man.
Yeah, fair.
It takes a lot.
It doesn't take much for an old woman to be chucked into the mental, but a man, and a white man no less.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A white straight man no less.
What
straight man
no less. What opinions is he having, like?
That's what I mean. I'd love to know.
Oh.
I'd love to know.
It's like, oh, they were just opinions. Like, you were a whole ass fucking incel. Like,
oh, I did. Obviously. But in 1971, he was actually medically discharged because it was discovered that he had a schizoid personality disorder.
Fabulous.
Ladies and gentlemen of the area, are we shocked?
Is anyone surprised?
Be surprised.
I don't think I've ever feel the muscles of my face move less.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, then.
No shock here.
Not one day. And after a stint in the army, he moved to San Jose to attend university. But he ended up dropping out after one semester. Don't be coming to me as well.
All three of us.
And he joined a hippie commune. Now, he didn't intentionally set out to join a hippie commune, as per se. He moved out of the city to get away from the bustling lifestyle and wanted to lead a more seclusive life, right? A reclusive life.
Uh-huh.
And he moved to this big ranch. Now, it was like 3,000 acres. Like, this thing was fucking massive. It was huge. But it was all, like, subdivided.
Right.
And everybody that moved out there was just looking to escape from San Francisco. They wanted to lead a more, well, I suppose you would say hippie lifestyle, if you think, because they wanted to grow their own crops. They wanted to, like, make their own clothes. So, yeah, it didn't start out as a commune, but it just blossomed into one, I suppose.
I mean, sounds like the dream, anyway, in fairness.
Sounds like the dream. But, like, our fucking Leonard here went out to be, like, the reclusive loser that was preparing for this nuclear war, because he started having it in his head now, oh shit, well, this is going to happen. So he started telling everybody about Operation Miranda, and they were like, oh, right, okay. But they thought he was calling his big move to the ranch Operation Miranda, and not that he was actually preparing for nuclear war.
I see.
So when he was asking them to help, oh, will you help me dig a bunker? They were like, oh yeah, man, sure, yeah, no issues. Like, they thought they were just helping him build a house. I'm not a survivalist then.
That would eventually turn into a rape shack.
You know.
Cool.
These poor people. And not even that this was the rape shack, but this was probably like the prop.
Mm.
Like the, what would you call it? The practice shack.
Of course. Fair enough.
Practice shack for it, right?
Lovely.
But it was also when he was in this commune that he started doing pornos. And he had a great time doing it. He'd film loads of them. And you can watch them as well, by the way. I haven't done it myself. I have no intentions to ever do it. But just if there's any people out there that would like to do it.
He definitely directed the Lemon Whores one. He is the creator of Lemon Whores. If nobody knows what Lemon Whores are.
I don't know what it is.
Oh my god, it is this god awful fucking porn movie where there's this fucking couple sitting on a bench in their garden like, boy, I sure do love our lemon trees. And they're like talking about how great their lemon trees are. And then they're like, I hope no lemon whores come to steal them. And then there's just these women in body stockings stuffing lemons down the body stocking. And then they eventually have sex. And I don't know how it gets there because I can never get past the start of Lemon Whores, but it makes me laugh so fucking much. And I feel like that's the kind of porn that Leonard Lake directed. He directed Lemon Whores.
I mean, I won't say he wouldn't have. Man was afraid.
Yep.
Man was afraid.
That kind of top quality production. That's what I'm thinking.
You could just see Leonard behind the camera.
Oh, yeah.
But as Leonard was starting to build his bunker, he actually developed an intense survivalist paranoia to the point that he started stockpiling weapons and not legal ones.
Oh, shock.
So that's going to be important to remember for later on.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was 32, he met a 25-year-old teacher's aide named Carolyn Balaz. Balaz? I think it's Balaz. But anyway, he used to call her Cricket. So I'm just going to call her Cricket. Shit name, but anyway, we move. And they dated for about 4 years before they married in 1981. But sure, don't you know it wasn't also fucking sunshine and roses, because he would give her train beatings. Don't have to keep his woman in line.
Right.
Had to keep her in line.
They schedule them in.
Oh, yeah. Right, after dinner, we clean up. I give you your daily walloping.
We'll head off to bed then.
We'll head off to bed.
Put the dishes in the dishwasher and all that.
Yeah. No, had to keep her in line.
Yeah, makes
but
sense.
He had a thing where, do you remember how when he used to take pictures of his little sister? Yeah, he started to do this just from that point onward. Not even of his little sister anymore, but when he was a young lad, young girls his age, then as he got older, he would pay young girls still to take pictures of them. He would pay sex workers to take pictures of, or he would like approach women that he thought were like really pretty and say, oh, would you like a modelling gig? I can take your pictures for free, blah, 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 blah. And they would do it.
Because who doesn't want to be a model?
Like, who doesn't want to think that they could probably make it big, especially when you're going to be in California as well, of all places?
Yeah.
You know, if people are going there for a dream and then you're suddenly getting approached by someone to be like, okay, well, I take photographs, blah, 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 blah. Like, he had a full-on setup as well.
Mm. I like your maxi, so you're like, kid. Can still see, I could see them doing it. That's like, legit, yeah. One's just going around and be like, you're my next big thing. Come here.
Literally. And then some of these women are never seen again.
Yeah.
But he would also make Cricket look at the photos that he had taken. So he was still taking photographs of women and young girls when he was married to her. And then he would show them to her thinking that it was going to get her off and that she would like really, really like it. Now, the jury is still out on Cricket in a sense that she was fully aware of the shit that him and Charles would do in the future.
Lovely.
And she just got let off. For the fact if she gave testimony against them. So the jury's still out on Cricket. I don't know if I feel bad for her in any sense. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
Is there like proof that she wasn't involved herself?
No, no.
Hmm.
That's the thing.
Interesting.
The jury is literally still out on it.
Hmm.
Because there is evidence, but then they're like, oh, well, it could just be circumstantial. But I don't believe it for a second.
Well, that's exciting.
Because they used to do it shit in her house. And she used to bring girls over and you're telling me she didn't have a fucking clue. Cricket, bitch, don't be trying me. Anyway, he would also then pester her for threesomes to do like weird sex acts that they wouldn't tell us what they were. They probably weren't too wild, but no, Leonard, they probably were a bit fucking sick.
Mm.
And he made her dance in a strip club as well for him. Now, he loved it if she got with other people, but had to be on his watch. She could never talk to another man without his permission. Or be seen to be like a little bit flirty with anybody without his say so, or he would lose his fucking mind.
So he liked being a cuck, but with the person that he chose, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Did she...
Basically.
No, don't think I could be with a cock myself. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
It would be for my taste, but like off with you. But at the same time, like if she can't pick the ones that she wants to get with, then it's kind of like that's just another way of him just controlling her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Exactly. Then you have to shag an uggo to make him feel better. Well, he's just there fapping away in the corner.
Because they definitely all were as well, because no way was he going to let her get with a Bjorn.
No.
Because he himself was nothing of the sort. Exactly. So if he was going to be like, oh my God, she can't leave me for somebody that doesn't beat shit out of her mm-hmm. and looks well.
You know? So if they were going to be below his fucking standard, we're looking at the real low, the end of the fucking barrel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And in 1981, Leonard met 21-year-old Charles Ng through a War Gamer magazine. So Charles was looking for a place to stay because he was also a fellow Marine. But he had deserted from the Marines because he was caught stealing $11,000 worth of automatic weapons
Lovely.
By the military police, and he was being court-martialed. So he was like, I need to fucking hightail it out of here. I need a place to stay. Before I even attempt to go into that shit show at all, we're going to go on to loser number two. We're going to see what his story is. Old Charles. Right?
Here we go.
He was born on Christmas Eve, 1960, in Hong Kong, China. And he was the youngest of three. They were a nice middle class family. But their household was very busy because they had aunts from both sides living in the house, and they had the grandparents from both sides living in the house. So it was just a constant flow of people in and out all the time.
Sweet baby Jesus.
And now, his father wasn't the most forgiving man, in the sense of if Charles ever like disobeyed any rules or if he didn't do well in school, father was beating shit out of him.
Joy.
Like, beating shit out of him. But unlike Leonard, Charles didn't try and dissolve mice as if they were little bath bombs. He actually really did love animals.
Okay.
And he had this little pet chicken.
Oh no.
Right.
Oh no.
Yeah, he had a pet chicken.
I know where this is going.
You do know where this is going. And look, most households eat chicken. And if you have one that looks rather delicious, that is just running around the place, you're like, lads, I'm fair starving. This is just a chicken. Right? We know where it's going, but poor Charles. Well, no, fuck Charles. But when Charles was a child, God bless him, he tried to protect this chicken with his fucking life.
That's we'll a get fucking scene. For I trying think, to like, protect the chicken. Kids, like attached to them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do not let him have it as a pet if it's going to be food.
Keep it separate. Just don't let him have it as a pet and be like, if you get close to someone they're living outside, that's your own business. But don't, you know.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
Don't make friends with the food.
But no. Couldn't save poor chicken from the chopping block, and he came home one day and chicken was on the menu for dinner, and 'twas his chicken. I also actually kind of have a not a personal story, because it's not my story, but anyway, right, one of my dad's brothers, right, had a lamb as a pet, right? Now they lived on like a string of houses, so there was like no like housing estate, and he had a pet lamb. But anyway, that's the point. Like, he used to take the lamb out for walks and everything, like, put it on the lead and walk it through the fields. And my nanny Lizzie hated this fucking lamb. The lamb was called Barney, by the way. And one day, the uncle was gone off, came home, and sat down to dinner. And he was like, oh, Jesus, ma, these lamb chops are lovely, where did you get them from? And she's like, fucking Barney. They had killed Barney, the poor little lamb.
That's so
mean. I made him into dinner.
Isn't it mean? Like, you knew he wasn't going to want to eat that. Like, that's really fucked. That's the same, like...
Poor Bernie.
That is.
R.I.P.
Poor Bernie. Bernie the lamb.
Do you know, like, it's the same on Bernie, but it's the same on the kid that, like, had him as a pet. Like, you wouldn't do that...
Oh, the trauma.
With someone's dog.
Oh, he was raging. Like,
that's...
I think, no, I could be telling it wrong. No, that part was right, but I can't remember if this part's true or not, where Dad was like... He ran away. For like a couple of like, did I not like properly ran away? But he was like,
I've never been over that.
Upset.
I'm never talking to you again.
No, you'd never.
I'll never eat anything you ever actually serve up to me. I'm petty as fuck. I'll never eat dinner you make again in my whole life. I won't. I'll live on fucking toast.
Watch me starve.
Oh my god.
Watch me starve. But it wasn't just the chicken.
Oh goodness.
For Charles, because he also had a pet turtle, and he had this turtle on a lead, and used to walk the turtle around the place because he was terrified. Okay, terrified after the chicken incident that turtle would also follow in the same footsteps. One day Charles came home, turtle was nowhere to be seen. One can only speculate that turtle also had been eaten. Just throwing it out there.
Oh.
But to make it worse, He also had a dog.
No.
And also not confirmed. Do you know if we can say it was or not? He also had a dog that the mother fucking hated. So we can just assume that she gave this dog away. But Charles was like, I really, really love this dog. It was everything to him. Came home from school one day. Doggo was no longer anywhere to be seen. He was gone. So we don't know what happened to the dog. We don't know if he followed the same fate as the chicken and possibly turtle. Or if he just went to live on a farm.
Get given away.
We don't know.
Yeah, I would go on a murderous rampage if somebody did that to me.
I would
age
too.
Slash not one kill pet, but slash three. Gave away all of my pets. Like, no, nervous breakdown city, sorry. I'd be starting with the parents.
It's a bit much like, isn't it?
And then cook them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. Don't touch my pets.
You would not. You won't hear me disagreeing
on
that.
Stop getting me pets if you're just not going to. You know what I mean?
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
So cruel.
So like with the early onset trauma that this obviously would have caused him, it's no wonder that he ended up, you know, developing temper tantrums or would later develop into full on behavioural issues. And by behavioural issues, I mean, you know, he'd bully the younger kids, he would start thieving, launching the odd Molotov cocktail off of roofs.
Not yet.
All of that fun stuff.
Effort stuff.
But the thieving is the thing that he really got his thrill off of. And he was constantly, like, going into small shops and robbing stuff. Shoplifting all the time. But he was still in school while he was doing all this. So once the school got wind of him stealing shit, well, they would just expel him, even though he mightn't have stole anything from school. Mm. But because he had such a bad reputation, you're like, right, okay, get him gone. Because when, like, they were middle class, so they could clearly afford good schools. So he was going to, like, boarding schools and all, like, the private schools and shit like that. And, of course, they couldn't have anybody staying in a reputation.
Wait, so they weren't even poor enough to eat his fucking pets?
Oh, no, these were middle class.
I at least thought they were broke and that because there were so many people living in the house, they had to feed them somehow.
No, it was just a busy house, but a rich house.
So they were just too lazy to go to the fucking shop, so they just ate the chicken one day.
It's just convenient.
Lovely.
Lazy bastards, that's all it was.
Wow.
Lazy bastards.
Wow.
And when he was 15, he was actually shipped off to London because they were like, right, okay, hopefully if we send him to a boarding school over there, they'll put some manners on him. It did not, would you believe? And he just kept on stealing while he was over there too, so they couldn't deal with him, so back to Hong Kong he fucked. Got in trouble there again for stealing, and then he was like, do you know what, lads, California seeming very nice. I want to go to America.
Where there's law.
Mm-hmm. And he ended up in San Francisco in 1979. And what he did, he actually faked his birth certificate so he could join the Marines. Because I don't think you could just join the Marines, like, you had to be born, I think, in the States.
Right.
Or in, like, a colony to join the Marines. So he's fresh over, like, born in China, reared in China. Like, I know he went to London for a bit, but still.
Yeah.
Do you know,
still,
and now
doesn't
he's just
make him American.
Yeah, exactly. But like I had mentioned earlier, Charles was caught while attempting to steal $11,000 worth of automatic firearms while he was stationed in the Marine Corps Air Station in Hawaii. Now, we don't know how he managed it, but even though he had been caught stealing all of these weapons, he managed to escape from Hawaii, which is an independent island for people out there that don't know, and make his way all the way up to California.
This motherfucker
California.
Swam.
So I'm like,
he's like,
I'm not sure how he did it.
Like the half of
and
the
like, did he have money to just to pay people off to like smuggle him over, you know, or not smuggle, but you know, like lob him in like a small boat or something.
Put him on the banana boat.
Just to carry him to the mainland. It's like, lads, I'm actually in a fair amount of trouble. Help a man out. I have money. He's middle class after all. So I'm like, I'm assuming.
True. Put me in a crate, say not. See you on the other side.
And it's when he got to Northern California that he saw an advertisement for room in a trailer to rent in, I think it's called Ukiah. We'll say Ukiah. U-K-I-A-H. Or Ukiah.
Ukiah?
Either or.
Yeah, no one idea.
And the ad was placed by a fellow Marine in a Wargamer magazine. So, you know, two gun nuts. Both Marines were like, lads, this is going to work out. I've got a great feeling about this potential matchup. Let's go for
match
it.
Match made in fucking heaven.
Mm-hmm. And when Charles and Leonard finally met up, well, sure, didn't they get on like a house on fire? They both shared same right-wing views, had an obsession with guns. And, you know, Charles was also buying the idea that a nuclear war is also going to just fall out at any minute. So when old Leonard was just telling him all about his Operation Miranda, Charles thought this was 10 out of 10. Great idea. Absolutely 10 out of 10, great idea.
Count me the fucking boy.
And he also thought like Leonard was cool as shit, because Leonard was like, oh yeah, I'm so prepared for all this. I even have a cyanide tablet in my tooth. Oh. Just in case like shit breaks out.
Is this another Nazi lover? Do we have another Nazi lover?
I don't think he's a Nazi lover, but I was like, he's very Nazi.
Just hasn't been said.
Yeah. He's just like, I appreciate how they offed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their families.
He's gonna copy the homework real quick.
Yeah.
However, their little budding bromance was shortly cut when the FBI raided the property looking for illegal firearms and explosives, because remember I said Leonard got very paranoid and started to stockpile illegal weapons. Well, basically people started whispering, and those people were the people on the commune that were like, okay, Leonard's actually starting to get a bit too fucking crazy now at this point.
Somebody needs to check in on Leonard.
Intervene. There needs to be an intervention. So, of which, you know, they did find many of illegal weapons, but they also found Charles. So after just a quick scope, they found out that Charles was actually wanted for desertion and theft. So he got arrested. And Leonard was arrested for firearms violation, but Charles was actually handed over to the military police. But he did plead guilty to charges of theft and desertion, and he was sentenced to 3 years, but he only served 18 months of that sentence.
Right.
Leonard was let go because he was able to make bail.
Oh, look at that money.
So imagine a big FBI raid for nothing.
Honestly, could have stopped so much.
But like, nothing came of it, because they were like, all right, he had the money to pay himself out of it, so what the fuck was the point? Like, how much money did you waste going to arrest this man to seize these firearms, and then he didn't actually do any prison time?
Because it's America. It's only illegal if you don't have enough money.
Just make it make sense. Anyway. But when Charles was doing his time, Leonard was back in the ranch, and this is when he started making his survivalist compound. So this was the practice compound that he had all like his fellow hippies help him renovate. Mm-hmm. So he stockpiled it with even more illegal weapons that he was managed to get as soon as he made bail.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. And he started stockpiling, you know, like canned goods, all that kind of shit. But he didn't have his Miranda woman, but he needed help getting one of those as well. And when Charles was finally released, he sought out Leonard once again. Leonard was back on that fucking ranch. Charles was like, right, giddy up, let's go. He wanted to get this plan in motion as well, because he was only too much like loving the idea.
Sure, his
of Operation Miranda.
Balls were black and blue from being in prison for so long.
Oh yeah, of course it was.
Sick.
So Leonard then started to tell Charles of his idea of the perfect woman, or his off-the-shelf lover.
Lovely.
That's what he called it. So that it was basically a woman that he... Mm-hmm, we love the term. It's just a woman that he could do whatever he wanted with when he wanted, and when he didn't want her anymore, he could just bin her off.
Put her away, put her back on the
no
shelf.
No need for her. Yeah. Put her away. Use her for another day.
So the one
when he was arsed.
Every fucking neckbeard Reddit user on incel vibes.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. So basically just insinuating then that he did not want a partner but a sex slave.
Yep.
Even though he fully married. Two cricket. Wasn't enough for him, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the pair of them knew that they wouldn't easily find a woman that would just offer themselves up to be chained to a wall for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Seems like a bit much to
and
ask
used
for.
And abused like that, you know. Weirdly, not many people would put themselves up for an opportunity such as that, but you know, here we are. And they knew that, so they were like, okay, well, we just need to take one or take money to build our fucking stable. So they devised a plan to build an underground bunker, and that sole purpose was to confine a woman for them to rape and torture. Charles preferred the idea of the torture, he was a bit of a sick cunt. And while Leonard's was more focused on making the sex slaves, so they're like, okay, we can just do two at the same time. Two birds, one stone.
Lovely.
We're best friends. This is just going to work out great for us. And they set their plan into motion, and they needed the perfect location because it had to be secluded. But it couldn't be an area that looked creepy or scary or off-putting that people would be afraid to come to.
Or get sus about
it.
But
still had to be... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it still had to be out of the way for nights. So 150 miles away outside San Francisco, deep in the Sierra Nevada, the pair found a remote piece of property that they could renovate into their torture dungeon. But the thing is, Cricket was actually the one that would end up owning this property, where they would commit all of this. So that's why people are like,
interesting.
They don't think she is as innocent as she is, because she took a plea deal where she wasn't going to be put on trial if she testified against the two of them, particularly for Charles Ng, because they thought he might have been able to get away with his crimes. She also did help to bring girls to the house to get pictures taken.
Lovely.
And in pictures, we know exactly what that fucking meant.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So now they were going to search for their M lady, which was their Miranda woman. And one of like the best places for them to do this would have been in Pink Palace in Northern California. So Pink Palace was kind of a place where if you're only staying somewhere for a short amount of time, this is the place you went. So if you were traveling, if you were visiting, if you only needed like a quick hotel for a night. Yeah, a layover place. That's exactly what it was. So you might have people staying there for like literally a week to 3 months type thing. You know, like never anything like really long term. But Leonard would have many aliases in the years to come. And one of them was Alan Dre. And this is the alias he used when he was living in Pink Palace. So he would go around, he would make friends with neighbours, acquaint himself, explain that he was a photographer, would show him all of his equipment. He had some pictures that weren't the creepy porno ones that he used to show to everybody else. Because even if you were a stranger, Leonard thought this was perfectly acceptable, by the way, just to flash pictures of like a young one at age like 16.
Like, I feel like he should have got the cop on as he gets older, but also at the same time still blaming the grandmother for that one. Being like, this is perfectly fine. So as an adult, he's like, this is perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Yeah, no, he thought this was so normal.
Yeah.
But like that he would introduce himself, be like, oh, hi, my name's Alan. I'm a photographer. Great to know you. You know, we'll catch up, like, let's be friends type thing. But he would end up meeting three of his future victims in the Pink Palace. So they were Maurice Rock, and he was a guitar player, very cool man. His girlfriend, Cheryl Okoro, and Randy Jackson, he was a Vietnam vet as well. So one day, fucking Alan, or Leonard, approached Maurice and Cheryl's house, and he started knocking on the door, and he said, oh, hi, you remember me? I'm the photographer. I think you're so beautiful. I can make you a model. Let me go out, let me take some headshots, we'll take pictures, and you could submit them to an agency. Which they did, and they were normal photographs.
Okay.
For this one. Because that's how he was like, okay.
Earn their trust. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Then take them.
Hmm.
And the pictures came out great. Cheryl loved them. Maurice was like, okay, this lad's like really cool. Like, he didn't charge us anything for these photographs. You know, so I'm glad. And then Leonard approached him and he said, look, I can sort you out, lads. I can give you as much weed as you want. I'm actually growing it out. I have a property out in Sierra Nevada. Do you want to come with me? All like you have to do for me is just look, help me crop it, or don't bring in the crop. Help me sort it out. You can take as much of it as you want. And they were like, too fucking right.
Sorry, dream job. I would be straight up on that offer. I'd be like, yep, no problem. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm right there.
But they would never return.
Shock.
Back from Sierra Nevada. And in years to come, now we actually don't even know how they died, by the way. And these are the two ones that are like, are these even like, can you confirm that Leonard killed them? Because they just don't know. Their bodies were found on the property, all right. So obviously he did kill them, but he didn't admit to killing them. So when Maurice would finally be found, he would sound fully dressed, all put together. But Cheryl, only her neck bone and her thigh bone would be found. Oh. And the only reason why they think that he did do anything was because they found a Polaroid picture of her standing outside the front of the house in handcuffs. That was it.
Right. Like, that was dressed it. Or naked?
Naked.
Yeah, I thought as well.
So they're like, well,
bits us.
Yeah. Because where, like, the other ones, they had pictures of the bodies and everything like that, but where they didn't have them with Cheryl.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, she was his prototype.
Okay. Yeah.
He was her first one. She was his first one.
Mm-hmm. And your man then, and then was Maurice, just killed as, like, a just
had to get killed after.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then he just has a repeat pattern of doing that, of taking women, taking their husbands, taking their children, making the husband and child watch while he did horrendous things to them, and then kill them all. Just for shits and giggles.
What a pleasant guy.
What a pleasant
Big
guy.
Big fan of him. Gotta say. Seems like a nice way to live and then die.
Honestly. Yeah. And I'm going to stop it there, because then we're getting straight into the victims.
Woo, Murdersville.
Which is Savannah's territory.
I'm actually like high key dreading it.
Oh, it's mine.
Tell me about it. I swear, I curse myself for choosing this, like, way. I know we rolled for it and I was always going to be in the middle anyway. But, like, I always get the fucking murders. I'm like, it always has to be my voice bringing the bad news, the worst of the news to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to hate me by association if they don't.
They probably actually will.
And for other reasons. But, yeah, great. Can't wait. Gotta say, while nature is obviously, we already know this, has to be a factor in all of these little cunts, nurture was really taking a strong swing at these two.
Mm-hmm. So, but they definitely, I do feel like they had to have been born with, like, something.
Yeah. I said it, right. Like,
obviously, it didn't help.
Yeah. Nurture does not cause it fully. It can't. It just can't. Makes no sense. Otherwise, everyone who had a shit childhood would be a fucking serial killer. But, you know, the sweet, sweet combo. They're only missing the head injuries. The brother got one instead, and then he turned into a violent little lunatic. but yeah, we're only missing the fucking brain injuries. Other than that, it's textbook fucking childhood of a serial killer.
Literally.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All the murders are going to be so fun, because these two are just so great. So lovely. They do such great things.
Neckbeards.
Mm-hmm.
State of the doodles, though.
Stressed. Yeah, so I guess it's a bit of a short episode this week. Do we have anything else bar the severe unluck? No. Shit luck that we have that we want to talk about?
Do I have anything else?
Before we wrap it up.
It's a very quick episode.
It was a very quick episode.
It was. It was. Only because there's not, like, obviously there's, like, a good bit of murder.
Oh, for anyone that cares, I bought a Christmas present for Savannah while I was away in the Netherlands.
Oh my god, listen to this.
Right, and I brought it out. It's actually pretty cool. We were in a bookshop and it spoke to me and I was like, whew, what is that? And I brought it down and I was like, Savannah, love this, right?
Is it in fact in English or Dutch?
It's in English. I was in the English section.
Okay, grand.
just sorry, I should have specified that. But anyways, basically, this we were out and this lad, he was off his face. Started a fight with one of my friends and hit her. She, of course, was fighting back or whatever. But then he grabbed my other friend's boyfriend, like, around his neck, like his face, kind of. And I lost my shit. And I swung Savannah's book at this guy's head. And I'm really sad that it, like, the arse of the paper bag came out and it flew away before it got a chance to, like, hit him into the head. But basically, Savannah's Christmas present was involved in a scrap in the Netherlands, and it was, yeah.
And tell everybody what you've called the book.
Oh, Savannah called it.
Oh yeah.
I now christened this book the scrapbook, because it was used in a scrap. It's the only thing it can be called from now on. And I cannot wait to own it and see what this book is about, and if it's in any way remotely connected to attempted murder by swinging book.
Sure you'll find something in it that it might, but, like, no, it's not. I showed it to Aine actually, and she thought it was actually pretty cool. I showed it to a few people, and they're like, that's actually a cool book.
Can't wait. I'm very excited.
Because usually I feel like books can be kind of like shite, but I think this is actually a cool one. That's, like, also usable, practical. But also,
is she going to be able to cast spells or some shit? Or
I was thinking the same thing. Why did we first, like, witch's Bible? I was like, I'm getting curses. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, I still have your one here, Savannah. Your witch. I think it was you that gave it to me. Or was it Lizzie? The witchcraft one.
No, Savannah gave it to you because she gave me a book on how to conjure demons and cast. cast hexes. That was it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Honestly, that's my news.
Be proud of some of the books I've gotten you over the years for Christmas.
Yeah, I still have I keep all of them, but one of my favourite ones is the Cats and Gun Safety or something.
How to Talk to Your Cat About Gun Safety.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Didn't I get you a weird penis book as well?
You got me Tentacular Porn.
Ah, yes.
Oh, that was it.
Tentacle porn. Knew we got you something.
I feel like everyone at some stage has accidentally watched that one fucking tentacle porn hentai
music video.
I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah, anyone.
I feel like we've brought this up on the podcast before, this exact music video.
Have we?
I think so.
Is it a music video?
Probably.
It is a music video. Yeah. When they're in the swim pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone has seen it.
Everyone, and it's always by accident. Everyone you say yep. it to is like, yeah, and I don't know how I ended up there.
You just end up on a weird side of YouTube, and then it's like recommended yeah. for whatever fucking reason.
Or your weird friend who ended up on the weird side of YouTube tells you about it. I think my favourite one I've ever gotten you, Lizzie, is the old timey insults.
Oh, I love that. But I also did love the Dancing Jesus one, where like...
Oh yeah, that was a good one as well,
like,
actually.
They had dances called the Sam Shuffle. And what was the other one?
Isn't there one just called the Judas?
Oh no, it was like the Judas Jig.
Or that.
Or the Judas Dive. It was something like that.
Fuck, a great book as well.
Fucking hilarious.
Point being, books are great as Christmas presents, Cuiva. I don't know why you're like, you'll
they
find
They are,
for
but
it.
You know, it's hard to find one that's like...
It stands out.
Yeah, especially to find it in like an actual bookshop. I was surprised.
Yeah, very true. Alrighty. Then I think the ramblings about books are probably over now. That's kind of it. I can't believe.
How about Twilight Side Quest?
Oh Christ, no.
Oh my god.
Cuiva, no, I don't have the strength.
I'm only messing. I'm not. Plus, like, I'm up for it if you are, but it's fine.
She's like.
No, because if we get you going about Twilight, it'll never end. And this podcast will go from being like an hour long to 3.5 hours long. With Cuiva's opinions on Twilight in all of their various forms.
Last time I was at Lizzie's, maybe it wasn't the last time, maybe it was the time before, we watched some of the Harry Potters.
Oh, I know where this
is. And I'm actually vexed, right? Can I say his name?
Of course you can.
Yeah, okay. We watched them with Craig. We watched the Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, and Order of the Phoenix. Okay?
Okay.
And do you know how in Goblet of Fire, Ron is a fucking ratbag bitch who's, like, pissy at Harry for, like, you know, being fucking sacrificed by Voldemort up to, into, you know, this whole thing. You know, the whole thing is Ron was being a bastard. Cause
crying
was,
that Harry's always the centre of attention.
Yeah, and he was being an arsehole.
Because Ron got sick of his own small dick energy. Yeah.
Literally. Craig was like, oh, I don't get, like, why everyone's sick at Ron. You know, that's exactly what he was doing. And then he was saying, oh, I don't get, like, the whole, like, what's the big deal with Cedric? Like, everyone's pure sad about Cedric dying. Like, I don't get it. Like, what's the
and
big
Craig
deal?
And Craig was like, he was an arsehole. He deserved it. He used to bully Harry.
Which he didn't. But anyways.
Cedric's cronies bullied Harry, not Cedric himself.
Cedric was grand, like, and he was like, oh, I don't get the big deal, like, blah, blah, blah. And then we watched the Order of the Phoenix, and you know when it's like, was it Seamus or someone was getting shitty with Harry, or someone got shitty with Harry, and then Ron was all like, oh, don't be fucking mean to Harry, like, ugh.
Yeah, I think it was Seamus,
and I was like, you literally are one to fucking talk. You're one to talk. And, oh my god. Anyways, basically, I'm in a fight with Craig.
Okay.
Because like so like my little brother, by the way, because I'm coming home for Christmas, and me and Craig are just like planning on shit that we want to like watch together when we go home, because like we used to watch like programs and stuff together all the time, obviously, before I left. And he wants to watch the new Halloween film, and I was just saying, don't, like, Cuiva was telling us about it, and I was like, just don't, she said the ending wasn't great, like, don't, it was fair fucking annoying. Read what he said. He pure cheeky with what he said, right? He sent to me. Was. Wait, no. It's very anticlimactic.
Meanwhile, the brazen bastard's been asking me for fucking Christmas recommendations for Lizzie for Christmas presents. And he talking shit about me behind my back then.
He was like, don't trust Cuiva on movies after watching The Goblet of Fire with her. And I was like, you know, she's not going to be impressed. And he was like, nope, don't care. It was like having a live audience talk the whole way through the thing.
Which also, by the fucking way, he talked just as much as I did. Lizzie, back me up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, he did. And I said, yeah, but to be fair, you weren't sad when Cedric died as well, like, you know. And he's like, that's because he's a fucking snake, is exactly what he said.
Fair enough. This started off so like high tempo for it to just turn out that you're in a bit of a kerfuffle with Craig. That brings me the most joy. I was like, this is going to go somewhere, this is going to have a great point, and it kind of really doesn't, but I'm very glad you told it at the same time.
Doesn't have a point, but basically my whole point was that Ron was being a bastard in The Goblet of Fire, and
he was like,
I'm gonna pretend that I never was a bastard in the fucking Order of the Phoenix, and I was like,
we
not on my watch.
We remember. Before we like we've a spiral into the movie verse any further. We'll call it quits here for the week. So yeah, I'll be back, all fingers crossed, touching all sorts of wood, just praying to any god that exists that we make it back straight away next week with the murders, the fun murders. Yeah, and
so
then
exciting.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys for that, and then obviously as per usual Cuiva will follow that with the wrap up and hopefully some murders as well, because I ain't covering all of them on my own. I just can't. So that's that. And in the meantime, as per usual, I would like to wish everyone some positive vibes and negative tests, and remind you to always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles
and join our club.